You are now listening to a member of the Disney Podcast family. Head over to Disney Podcast Family on Instagram to see all the latest posts for this show and links to other great Disney podcasts.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Chris, and you're listening to a podcast that believes in dreams, that places trust in the magic of imagination, that is always the first star to the right, and where the light in the window is always on. Join as we discuss the views from Walt's apartment.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Walt's Apartment live show. We are coming to you straight after the Disney shareholder meeting that happened today, the quarterly shareholder meeting. So before we get into that and all of the news that came from it, we are going to lead right into introducing our host of tonight's show. We've got Lewis, who is aka Free Sean tonight. Lou, what are you up to?
Oh, staying busy, drawing, working, getting ready for the Rogue Comic-Con event.
Yes, Rogue Comic-Con. Make sure that you come out and join us in Medford, Oregon for Rogue Comic-Con on May 4th of this year. You're going to have most of us here, most of the fam joining as main stage hosts. So we'll see you there if you come and join us. We would love that. Blurred Hulk, what's up?
What up, what up? And to Sean's PO officer, please let him come back on the show one of these days.
Have you guys seen the video where it's like the guy singing to the girl? He's like, please come home. I got beans and bologna. You've not seen that? Okay. No. I'll have to share it with y'all.
Is that a country song or are you just singing?
It is not. It is not. It is not. Listen.
Is it an Indiana thing?
A little twang in that voice.
I will find it for you later. Tyler says, I will be there. We can't wait to see you, Tyler. Next, we've got up D-U-Wop Joey down there. What's up, Joey?
I'm doing good, and now I want beans and bologna. So thank you for that.
Ew.
Not going to lie. No, happy to be.
All right. And last but not least, we have Kevin and Amanda from Where in the Park. Our lovely Imagine That co-host, what are you guys up to down there?
Hey, we're doing good. We have lots of stuff coming up this month. We've been super busy, but all is well.
Tell us about it. What do you guys have coming up?
What do we have? We have the DFC Expo coming up on the 21st, nice. And then we're going to be at Disney Nurses Day on April 25th. We have a special scavenger hunt together for them. So.
All the Disney magic that We're in the Park provides. We love it. All right. And those of you in the chat, hello. We see Johnny is here. Tyler, entertainer. So we will get to questions later on today. But right now we've got a full pack show with the shareholder meeting that came out today. So let's dive right into that. The first thing we're going to talk about is that streaming is expected to have a return profit at the end of this fiscal year. What do you guys think? Hey, Jeremy, what do you guys think about that? I mean, do you think that's tied to the ESPN expansion, or do you think that's going to be the content that's already readily available and that they've already have planned?
Maybe the boost from Hulu.
Yep.
I mean, that's a big one.
Commercials are always a big thing, and adding Hulu into the mix and stuff, really, and then adding that commercial tier is definitely going to be a big win for them. They should see some results at the end of the year for that.
It definitely helps them as far as competition with Netflix to have Hulu added in. Lewis, what do you think?
I agree with what Joey and David said. I think Hulu coming up, first of all, adding Hulu to Disney Plus, I think was a unique but solid move. I definitely find myself scrolling through Disney Plus a lot longer and looking at things to watch. So I think Hulu is going to be a huge hitter for Disney Plus, why it's growing this year.
I got a question about the ESPN. Are they doing live events on through ESPN as well? Or
I mean, it says that they're going to have a sports package with a partnership with Warner Brothers Discovery WBD and Fox A that will offer a new streaming service that brings together a collective portfolio of sports channels with a standalone digital destination to come in the fall of 2025.
And they were talking about too having live games, commentary, fantasy sports, betting, and customizable options. So I don't even know what that means.
Honestly,
if they go live sports, if they go live professional sports, it's over. Disney won. They take
especially exactly 110%, and with the sports betting component tied into it, because they already have open sports betting that they're bringing in. So you've got your own live shows or your live sporting events, live commentary of sporting events. Think like Saturday or like Sunday night, like NFL lives or basketball commentary even. Oh my gosh, NCAA commentary is like my favorite thing in the whole world.
Yeah.
And then you put sports betting all tied into that.
With the Manning cast.
It is an absolute trifecta.
If Disney's in the talks because, well, I think it's been the last 3 years, the NFL Sunday Ticket has been on different platforms. Wasn't it Peacock 2 years ago? Now it was YouTube this past year. So I wonder what that contract extension was, or if the Sunday Ticket's up for grabs, because that'd be an interesting snag, especially if Disney could lock in the Sunday Ticket, because the fact that that's been bouncing around from different homes ever since it left DirecTV. So I'm curious to see where the Sunday Ticket would end up.
My opinion on that is Disney can, even if they don't land it, guess what? Disney can create their own Sunday Ticket. If they're streaming live games, they create their own. They can get high quality. You don't think so?
No, they can't. That's exclusively of it.
Okay, well, they can't call it that, but they can recreate a Sunday football commentary.
The commentary thing, but not the live games. I mean, that's all done. NFL body is a nonprofit organization. So that ticket, that package goes up to be bid that contract every year and stuff.
So
and
they can't stream any Sunday football games?
No, not without signing the contract.
Unless they partner with the streaming platform that is already doing it. So, for instance, that there's, I think it's the Fox and CBS or ABC.
Fox A, they have a partnership with Fox A right now.
It depends on which Fox it is. There's your general Fox, and then there's your exclusive Fox. If it's the general Fox where they play like the, that's how Paramount Plus gets away with streaming. I think it's the mid-tier game on Sundays is they get one Fox game, one ABC game that's shown on regular traditional television. That's the only game they can stream because it's already on traditional cable. After that, Paramount takes a step back. Same with Peacock. Peacock was streaming, I think, the Monday night game, and then Amazon was streaming the Thursday night football game. So each day of the week and certain tiers of the game are all bidding wars. You get the rights, or not the rights, but you get the rights to stream that game. That's why Amazon had Thursday Night Football all last year, and it's the only place you could see it was on Amazon. So the only two games that Disney can stick their finger in and get a piece of that pie would be your Sunday, I think they're called mid-tier games, and that's like your noontime games. And it's the one on ABC or CBS and then Fox.
Or Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football, I think, is shared still with ESPN and Peacock.
Yeah. And I know Paramount Plus, you're right about the mid-tier games, but they're usually strictly CBS, too, because...
Oh, okay, yeah. So it depends on the tier, but for the most part, everybody's got a stake in that pie. So I think the only one that they would have a good chance at snagging is the Sunday Ticket, because that seems to come up for bid. Like Dave was sharing, it seems like every year it has a new home.
Yeah. And I think when Sam mentioned the ESPN bet, it would be cool to get an option to watch like a football game, but with like that Vegas ticker, the line ticker going as you're watching the game. I know
with your, I think some teams do, your spreads and stuff.
Yeah. I don't know.
That could be a great customizable option.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's what Amazon did. I don't know if you guys actually watch some of the games through Amazon, your phone. Sometimes when that Thursday night game is on, that's when I'm at football practice. I'm watching, and you could go through you could switch through the regular commentators, kind of like I call it the broadcast. It's almost like the Pat McAfee crew, but not doing their broadcast, and there's a next gen cast going on. So like Amanda said, that'd be an awesome option to be able to do that through Disney Plus. And I know somebody's asking about some Wizards thing. I'm not sure what that is, but I think that the big thing would be ESPN and sports for sure. Would be a huge plus.
Going back to profitability for streaming for this year, though, is that because of like cut projects?
It's, I mean, the report that I read and what I heard was that they are going to reach profitability by the end of 2024 because of expanding the company's streaming library through Disney Plus and Hulu. Okay. So I don't know if they're going to be giving us more content from Hulu by the end of the year.
I'm just worried about less content for less for next year, if they're including the budget for creating new content as money, as savings.
I think that, oh, that's a good question, Kevin.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That is a very good question. And I mean, that's something that we're not really going to, that we are not going to have the answers to until we see next year's streaming lineup.
I mean, they're saving at least $80 million off of nixing She-Hulk. I mean, they're
I'm okay with that.
Cutting some of these the content for future showings and stuff is definitely a net savings for them. Also could translate into a profitability position for them as well.
So. No, Kim.
So, good God.
Kim says Taylor Swift does it again. Saves Disney. Saves Disney Plus.
They are streaming so far at least the Legends presentation of D23 on Disney Plus. And I know that'll be a big one. And they might do some of the smaller stages possibly.
So they are doing the Legends ceremony live on Disney Plus?
Yeah, Autumn, who runs the D23 page on Facebook, said it was confirmed.
Because we said that was something that we wanted. We just talked about that. Mm-hmm. Like we said that was something that we wanted that they had not announced yet. So we love hearing that they're going to do that.
Yeah. And I'll try to find the confirmation, but Autumn, she's pretty down with all the D23 info.
But that's hugely important because like I am literally sitting over here in the Midwest. I'm not coming to D23, unfortunately. And I would love to be able to see that. And there are other things that I would love to be able to see. We said, give us that content, you know, inspire people to come to the next D23. Or guess what? They're still paying for subscriptions to watch your content. And if you know that there's something you're going to want to see and you haven't subscribed to subscribed to Disney Plus, maybe you'll want to see it. But most likely the people who would want to see D23 content already just subscribe to Disney Plus.
I'm almost curious too. It's kind of related to Kevin's question, is the projects that have been greenlit for Disney Plus that are now going into the big screen. Is a part of that money for in production come out of Disney Plus, but also get replenished to Disney Plus? For instance, the Moana sequel, if it was green light to be a show on Disney Plus, okay, here's your budget from the Disney Plus to make a show. Oh, it's going to box office. Well, does that dollar return kind of also go back into a Disney Plus pocket to say, hey, this was paid for by Disney Plus money, but instead it went on the big screen, so and it made three times what we would have expected it on Disney Plus. I wonder how much money it earns is allocated back into Disney Plus as a profit margin because they kind of doubled down and said, no, it's going to go to the big screen. So I'm curious how that plays for shows not only cut, but shows that are, hey, instead of Disney Plus, it's going to the big screen first.
Yeah, that's a good question. Because I know it was supposed to come out. It originally was supposed to come out, I think, this year at some time, but I think last year, but they probably upped the budget once they decided to do that.
Or like in Star Wars, the Mando movie, I wonder how much of that money, because wasn't it originally supposed to be Disney Plus, or has it always been film?
I think they talked about a film, didn't they?
Yeah, so the film, and it's still, so there's, technically, right now, there's two Mandoverse movies. And the one that, so the Mandalorian one that got announced a few months ago, Mandalorian and Grogu, is directed and written by Jon Favreau. But the at Star Wars Celebration, they announced that Filoni's movie, which is still in the works, is going to be kind of like the culmination of everything in the Mandoverse. Ahsoka, a skeleton crew that's coming up within a year. Mando, Book of Boba Fett, that's going to be like the end. And that's where they introduced Thrawn and Ahsoka. He's most likely going to be kind of like the big bad overseeing that whole thing. Mm. But, so right okay. now we went from one Mando or Mandoverse movie to the
bonus. Y'all didn't tell me my name says Sam the fucking.
I noticed it. I wasn't sure if you did that on purpose.
That was a while ago.
It's too long and it doesn't fit. We are editing. Thank you, AZ Big Man, for letting me know that.
We're not going to assume things here, so.
You know my title here, David.
If you want to be a podcast prince, I support that.
I am a princess.
Why'd your voice get deeper?
I was just thinking Kindergarten Cop. I don't want to be a policeman. Yeah. I want to be a princess.
I want to be a princess.
Oh, goodness. I want to be a princess. I do. I am a princess. That's fine. All right. So we think we're good on that topic. Ready to roll through to a commercial break? Sure. Not really that it's much of a commercial because we love hearing from our sponsors. Where in the park?
Where in the Park Seek and Find Image Scavenger Hunt games will have you exploring theme parks like never before. But this is not like your childhood scavenger hunts. There are no word-based lists of items to find or a binder of riddles, trivia, math, or counting. Our games contain cards with images of details that can be found throughout the park just by walking around. You can play on your own schedule, so you don't have to worry about long lines, height requirements, or health concerns. Need help finding an image? We've got you covered, with hints and answers on each card so you're never left wondering where in the park the image can be found. Use the Scan Before Playing card to reveal an alternate image if one of the cards in your pack is currently hidden or removed from the park. Order today to get game packs for your next visits to the Disneyland Resort and Walt Disney World theme parks. But the fun doesn't stop there. We also have games for Universal Studios in Hollywood and Florida, Knott's Berry Farm, Six Flags, SeaWorld, and more. Ready to experience your favorite theme parks in a whole new way? Go to www.whereintheparkcom/waltzaptpodcast to get 10% off your order. A portion of the sale will also go to support the Waltz Apartment Podcast. Want $10 off your order instead? Visit patreon.com/waltzaptpodcast to become a lamplighter. With so much more to discover, the only question is, do you know where in the park?
We indeed do know where in the park. They're literally right down here, Kevin and Amanda, and we love them. They all not only join us on our live shows from time to time and our family game nights where they create exclusive clues just for our family game night live shows, which are the last Wednesday of every month. They also are host of Imagine That with Lewis and I, and we appreciate everything that they do here for A Light in the Window Productions. They help with our social media, too. They are fantastic. We appreciate you guys.
We're happy to be here.
That's right.
Can I commission you guys to do a Where in My House?
Yeah, of course.
For my teenager's socks.
Wait a second. Can you do that so that when I visit David, when I come to Medford, I can just, like, play?
Easy.
Sure. Done. Absolutely.
Yes. Magic. All right. Moving on to our next topic. But before we move on to our next topic, you guys mentioned joining our Patreon. We love our patrons. Go ahead and head over to Walt's Apartment Podcast on Patreon. You can subscribe to us. We have exclusive things over there for you. You want to see one of our exclusive things here? Look at this. I don't know if this is still what we're offering, but look at this.
That's pretty cool. Who made that?
I think it might have been Lewis from Sunken City Designs.
Oh, man, I know that guy. He's pretty cool.
Yeah, we should get him on the show.
What's his style?
He's all right. I appreciate him.
Yeah, he's okay.
Don't our Patreons get like discounts for like wearing the park and stuff like that too?
They get $10 off.
Man, I've gotten more support on my art right now on this show than no, I'm just kidding. No, actually, so if you are a Patreon, for everybody, but the Patreons will see the first look. For Rogue Comic Con, there is an exclusive print. It releases that day. It's not exclusive to the event, but it releases that day called Rocket's Return. And I will be posting more details on that as we progress. And you're following us on social media. But I just finished up Floor, and I'm going to leave it at that. If you know, you know. But there will be two different style prints. There'll be a common print that's in rotation on all my shows. And then there will be an exclusive print exclusive to the Rogue Comic Con. And then we will have a canvas wrap of that print at the Walt's apartment booth for a giveaway.
We love it. Awesome. There are going to be tons of giveaways, things that you do not want to miss. Like stop by our booth or at the main stage, essentially, for Rogue Comic Con, because there are crazy giveaways that you sincerely, and I mean that, do not want to miss. Like these things are, I wish I could win, but you have to be there to win. So show up Rogue Comic Con May 4th in Medford, Oregon. We hope to see you there. All right. Next topic. Things we kind of already had a hinted idea about, but I want to see what y'all's perspectives on. A Frozen Land coming to Fantasy Springs at Paris, Disneyland Paris, and a mention of another land at Disneyland, which we believe to be Pandora, Avatar-ish related. David says absolutely not. He doesn't think. So, David, I'm going to you first. What are your thoughts?
You don't want my thoughts. I mean, I have beef with James Cameron, so I'm just...
We know that. We know you have beef with James Cameron because he makes incredibly long movies that cost a lot of money that don't need to be as necessary, but we get it.
Here's my thing. If they do Avatar Land, I don't see them making it really small. So one of the main attractions have to go. And I've said this before in the show. I mean... I think the Cars Land is the only suitable place for it. Or they can get really creative and just build an underground thing and just bury it under Disneyland. And, you know, it can live there. Utilize all that dirt under California. Hey, you heard it here first. Underground theme park.
So, like, where the Utilidors would be in Florida?
I don't go to Florida, so I don't know.
Yeah, but like there's no way they can do that at Disneyland.
So, like in Florida, they have like the tunnels underneath the park, David, where they like literally when you throw trash down in Florida, it just goes into like these underground tunnels and bags, and they just like collect it from underneath and take it away.
Is that what they tell you? Because you're a litter bug. It's all right. There's no trash anywhere. They'll collect it.
No, you throw it in the trash can, and then it goes down into the utilidors. And then...
I'm like the Grinch. They throw the trash, and it goes all the way down to the
mountain. And then, like, the characters can pop up in whatever land they're supposed to be, because, like, they can walk underneath the land and then just pop up in certain spaces. It's magic.
Yeah, we did the tour where you were able to go into there. So we walked through the utilidors before. Mm-hmm. It's just
Am I right about the trash, or did I make that up?
Kinda.
There's like chutes that go through there. Like you don't see the trash when you're down there walking around.
Yeah, but it goes below ground when you drop it in, right?
Yeah. So they can't do the pneumatic tubes that send trash to other places.
No, because Disneyland is already built, so they had to like completely remodel everything.
You enter through Denny's.
That's a silly idea.
Go under.
Let's be clear.
All right, hey, just a suggestion for Avatar Land.
I don't
think that Avatar Land belongs in California Adventure at all. It doesn't make sense. The park is about California, and introducing a completely separate
planet
in California Adventure does not make sense. We put on our Imagineering hat.
Yeah.
And
Well, like looking at the artwork that they provided, mm-hmm. right? There's a body of water and a waterfall. Like we know where in the park in Disneyland to find that today. Mm. Right?
So
that already exists, and it's an attraction that they keep talking about getting rid of. So if they get rid of the subs, they can easily just throw this into that spot, throw in some new rock work.
So not just the subs, but
the Autopia.
The Autopia. Rework the monorail. You don't need to go in a circle 20 times, but these subs you can transform into Avatar Body of Water or whatever the heck that name is and have an underwater experience with Avatar. So
you Autopia
being modified was mentioned during the shareholder meeting, right?
They said they were modified as in getting out of there.
Well, they did not say that during the meeting. That was in an LA Times article from yesterday that was kind of misquoted, in my opinion.
So you don't think that they're moving from gas to electric?
That's not what the person said. They said that they are looking into the possibility of changing it in the future. I mean,
we will get to your question in a second.
It was kind of a weird thing that everyone grasped onto that LA Times article as proof that Disney has announced that they are changing the ride, but it's like it was just kind of a weird canned response when I read it where I'm like, I don't think that's exactly what they said. They just said to the question of, hey, are you going to change this from gas to electric? The response was, yeah, we're looking into ways to change that in the near future, you know. And then
guys think that they will
do you guys think they will actually get rid of Autopia?
Yes.
I think it's a really expensive ride to maintain.
I mean, I can see them retheming it to something Avatar-based if they do put the land over there. I know there was like a Josh Tomorrow Disney blog post where he kind of mentions the Disney Forward project being like, that needs to go through an order for this land to be built. But he doesn't really specify that it needs to go into the land specified in that project at the same time. He just says like, hey guys, make this go through and we'll put in an Avatar land. Like that's really a big draw for
me. Yeah, no, I mean, obviously there are going to have to be changes throughout different parts of Disneyland that are going to be made in order to make this possible, which means that there are going to be budget cuts essentially. And if it is incredibly expensive to maintain Autopia.
And the submarines.
It does make sense with them being, I mean, I'll buy it, albeit they're classic attractions, but they are not necessarily the most popular attractions. And are they even running very consistently?
Well, sometimes, but here's another reason why people say how expensive Autopia is expensive. They used to have this little thing in the Interventions that was Awesomeo with this fully automated robot doing tricks and stuff. They mentioned how expensive that robot was. It was like, I don't know. They had different models of him throughout a few years because he kept getting upgraded. And it was at least a $12 million at a time. I might be fudging the facts on that. Now he's just in the woods staring at the Autopias going through. I mean, seriously, that's... What the hell is that?
Buying an actual Awesomeo today?
I don't know. Maybe.
Like they're advertising the Awesomeo in that ride still. It's been there for years now. But I don't know if they actually bored with that project.
I mean, at this point, like if you need, just give me back Body Wars, it's fine.
but the thing is that like to your point too, the brought up Intervention, like there's nothing going on in that building. Still.
I think there's like a DVC meet in Urn.
Who cares?
Jeremy says kids absolutely love Autopia. The lines are always
D-tech.
I'd be surprised if they took it out completely.
They'll get over it.
Right.
But that's the thing.
But here's the issue is kids are going to be pleased with pretty much any kind of magic that you provide to them. At this point, we need to provide to preteens, teens, and adults because they're the people who are driving people to the parks. Kids are not coming to the parks on their own. They are coming to the parks with adults. And if you adults don't feel the magic enough to bring their kids to the parks.
Yeah, because they'll be bummed if the Autopia is not there. really get that new bubble wand.
You need adults to introduce kids to the magic to keep the generational thing going. And if you don't have adults who are interested in bringing their kids to the parks, you kill the generation.
I think the concept of Autopia is cool. I think if they were to switch over to electric cars and then have more like enclosed practical sets, I think it would really upgrade it.
Yes, enclosed practical sets makes a big difference.
Getting rid of Autopia for Avatar.
Because then it becomes more like Test Track.
In a way, yeah. And I think getting rid of Autopia for Avatar Land, I think is kind of because it's in Tomorrowland, and if you're going to call it Avatar Land, is it really the land or are we just an attraction? I think they just need to upgrade that. I do think the submarines, unfortunately, are a tad bit dated, and they don't really move a huge audience. But then again, though, if you're going to rip that out, the chances of them ripping out Autopia at the same time and just letting it go.
We would
lose both. I don't see them ripping out one to keep the other. I hate to say it, but they'll pull both, especially since car rides like that are so common at like your boomers and stuff like that. I mean, bumper cars and not quite exactly. I think that would be awesome. I've been saying do a Wreck-It Ralph theme ride.
Tim just said make it Wreck-It Ralph Racers. Man, give me a Vanellope like Candy Mobile any day.
Yeah, because then
you can really Tomorrowland.
I mean, I love the thought of that, but I think Avatar makes more sense as Tomorrowland than Wreck-It Ralph.
And honestly, neither of them do. And just to touch on Entertainer 1987,
it takes place in the future.
Beauty and the Beast does not make sense for Tomorrowland either. Like that would not make sense. Beauty and the Beast does not belong there at all.
Unless they reclaim that area for Fantasyland.
They could.
Way too much going on at Fantasyland.
Yeah.
That's a big
one. I actually blue skied a way to make Autopia Tron themed like a couple years ago. And
okay. Cool. You could do Autopia Tron theme. You could also reimagine it something like Test Track.
Too close to Radiator Springs Racers.
Okay, I don't want Test Track. I'm just saying.
But if you did,
opportunities to tie Tomorrowland technology into car mobiles.
I mean, they could easily create a new story though, where it's like Tron, and you're on like a electric like car. Almost do like Radiator Springs, so they have the old school race car track. How it represents one of those, like, I forgot what you call them, where you just keep pulling the trigger and it's like the electricity flowing them through. Do something like that, but switch it up where you're on like a grid test track and you're enclosed, encompass it all. Because then if they did that, they can change the walls to be rethemed for all different atmospheres, events, all that stuff.
Can we just make it like a Fast and the Furious attraction? I know it's not really.
No.
What are you saying?
I'm like Ricky Bobby. I just want to go fast.
Trying to make Lou excited over there. Talking about Universal properties.
You guys are the for me, in my opinion, the Disney experts, but I still stand by my thing about it being in DCA. Replacing Cars Land. I don't really care what you guys think. The argument that it's not California doesn't jive because we got Marvel Avenger Campus there.
Avengers Campus in California. It says right on. It's West Coast.
West Coast Avengers.
So, yeah, we got West Coast Avengers, but none of that's in the MCU.
Nobody wants the West Coast Avengers anyway.
So Kevin and Amanda, it doesn't make sense anyway because it's all East Coast right now as far as the Avengers stuff. So it doesn't matter if it gets replaced with Cars Land, whether California Adventures is just for California themed stuff. Because it's an alien world. It's big and it should get replaced with Cars Land. So that's my argument. I don't really care what you guys think.
So I'm with David halfway. I think it should go into DCA. I feel like the California part of it is slowly dissipating little by little. But I don't say Cars Land. I think you redo, obviously everyone's speculating, you redo Grizzly River Run and you reclaim the Grand Californian. You do since it's already like very Earth-like. You do that as a Na'vi hotel stay.
I don't know about all that. That's a bit extra.
I mean, why not? You have another themed hotel.
Who the hell cares about Pandora? When is not to have Disney a extra with their experience? Stuff? I'm sorry. I don't care enough about Pandora to want to stay in a themed Pandoran hotel. Just saying.
I mean, people lost
their Star Wars. It would do better than the Star Wars hotel. It failed.
It would not do better than the Star Wars hotel.
It would be cheaper.
I would do better.
How many people are
they're not going to charge like $3,000 for an experience in the
How many people are, after seeing the last Avatar film, Way of Water, how many people are sincerely excited to see the next one?
I don't know. There's a, those like I think $2 billion still, Simon.
Regardless of what we think,
honestly, I took my child to see that movie, and she asked to leave halfway through. My child
has $1 billion franchise and stuff
in any other movie ever.
Audience for it, so yeah, it would do better than the Star Wars Hotel. The price point is the biggest reason why the Star Wars Hotel was just crap. The experience,
and guess what? If they're having to provide an interactive Pandoran experience, it is going to cost a hell of a lot of money to provide that. So yeah, their price point is also going to be very high. Honestly, nobody wants it enough.
That's all I want to say.
If it went to DCA, I think it would replace Grizzly River Run and the trail.
I stand by the fact that it doesn't belong in California at all. It's in Florida.
I'll take it in California because based on the concept art, it's way different than the floating rock
World of
Pandora. Based on what I think we're going to see in the recent sequel, Way of Water, and the sequels coming up.
Guess what? They've got more land in Florida. Figure it out there. Build it there.
Keep trusting that concept art. It's a bit deceiving, so be careful.
Just a bit. And honestly, like I think
the third movie is really focused on driving cars in caves.
Isn't there Harbor Boulevard
scene in there? We're going to be set. You know, it's going to be really good. Fingers crossed that's going to be in Pandora. And we'll be like, okay, guys, it all fits now.
But is everyone opposed to just keeping
it? You can be in those big animatronic robot little
I'm fine. Don't give me a Marvel. Don't give me a Marvel Land in Florida. Don't give me a Marvel Land in Florida. I will come to California for Marvel content.
Don't you guys have that, Kevin?
There is a Marvel Land in Florida. It's over at Islands of Adventure.
I know there's a huge ass painting of Namor. It's great. However, there's two of them actually. However, I stand by my point as far as Disney content goes. I don't need Marvel at Disney in Florida. I don't need a Marvel Land in Florida. I can go to California if I want Marvel Land. Keep Pandora in Florida. Give people a reason to travel to different parks. Therefore, Disney makes more money. Hey, you need money. Stop trying to replicate the exact same shit you have on each coast.
That's what things are going to be different.
Here's the thing. Disneyland is primarily a commuter park, right?
Elaborate on that. What do you mean?
Like you have people staying 4 to 5 days at least. Well, I would say let's say 3 days. 3 days minimum, 3 to 8, 9 days for stays on your resorts. On your resorts in Florida. They're staying on property.
Yeah.
How many people actually stay on property at Disneyland? Disney's making less money because people are
the hotels are still booked around there.
Yeah, but you don't have as much. If you keep it to Florida and you give people a reason to go to Florida because they want to consume something that is only offered in Florida, Disney World is
so much bigger. That's not even a fair. I mean, all the surrounding hotels and everything else are booked in Disneyland. That's just they don't have the space to have a big resort Disney World style thing.
Okay. They also don't have the space to adequately give a decent Pandora Land.
Yeah, replace cars. I mean, it's not that hard.
Okay, new cup.
Definitely.
New cup. We've all given our opinions on this and beat this topic to a pulp. So actually, if you're joining us on Facebook and if you have not given us a light or a heart react, we would love, love, love that, please. And we are going to hear from our next sponsor's giveaway today. If I can find the button. Get to know giveaway today.
Well, hello, and welcome to Let's Get to Know Our Sponsor. Getaway Today has been helping Disney vacation dreams come true since 1990. Whether you choose to visit the happiest place on earth or travel to Orlando and beyond, they want to help you. Need to know the best hotel in the area? What theme park ticket should you buy? Have a last minute change? No worries. Their travel experts are always here to help. Want to book a cruise and don't know where to start? Hey, they can help with that too. They will help you find the perfect cruise for your vacation, whether it is your first time or you're a well-seasoned cruiser. When you book your cruise with one of the Getaway Today's experts, you will have a dedicated agent to help you every step of the way. They take care of the details so you can have the most fun. Getaway Today has layaway, peace of mind travel, allowing you to cancel or make changes up to 72 hours in advance. You will always have the most up-to-date vacation information, both pre-arrival and upon your welcome. Getaway Today will guarantee the best prices with no hidden fees. And every time you book through Getaway Today, they will donate a portion back to a charitable organization in your area. And so far, over $4.5 million has been donated. So click the link in our show notes to start your Disney vacation planning for more information and the best deals. Tell them Walt's Apartment sent you. And until next time, enjoy the view from Walt's Apartment. All right. Yes, we do love our sponsors Getaway Today. We would love for you to go ahead and let them plan your vacations. They do a fantastic job. A few of us here have used them for our vacation planning. They are free to use, no cost to you, and they will get you the most out of your Disney vacation. So go ahead and check out Getaway Today. All right. We are going to go ahead and touch on this topic here. I wonder why Snow White wasn't mentioned at the shareholders meeting. Because could it be because it was still in post-production? Also, when will Disney Plus be releasing Aladdin Live from the West End? Zero idea if Aladdin Live from the West End is being released at all. No idea. Also, don't know if Snow White's being released at this point. Yeah. I feel like at this point it's something that they maybe decided it was probably not the best investment that they made. And they may be kind of trying to shove it under the rug. That's my personal perspective, is we may never get to see it.
I think the majority of people don't care.
Most people do not care about Snow White because the things that we have seen have not been good. So, sorry, entertainer. I know that you're really looking forward to it, but majority of the population is not. So,
but can we talk about Sydney Sweeney at Disney World? No, I'm kidding. Just kidding.
Actually, you know what I am really excited to talk about? We got an announcement for the Silver Surfer for Fantastic Four tonight. So, wait a second. I want to say her name right because I said it wrong earlier. Julia Garner is going to be playing a female Silver Surfer in Fantastic Four. She's going to be joining Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards, Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm, Joseph Quinn as the Human Torch, Ebon Moss Bachrach as the Thing. So she is going to be playing a version of Silver Surfer from the comics called Shalabal. Yes. I wanted to make sure I said that right.
The Herald of Galactus, an alternate universe.
So we have yet to get, we've yet to get announcements on Galactus and Doctor Doom. So.
This is more proof that Fantastic Four is going to be, it's definitely in a different universe. It's not in the main MCU timeline. which we may see when they release the Avengers, do Battle World and stuff like that. But for now, this is just more confirmation that this is definitely taking place in another version of a timeline, which also leads me to believe that it might be the same version that the Marvels broke through on, and they ran into Beast and all of them. So, yeah,
which we have... Which may be the only beneficial thing that the Marvels gave us. Other than Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel still the show.
She is, but we had her standalone show also as well.
Which not that musical planet?
Good.
Absolutely.
What about all the cats?
Stop it. All of you, stop it.
I saw the greatest, real quick, I saw the greatest WonderCon cosplay. Friends posted a picture. It was two astronauts with little stuffed cats with tentacles being shot at their arms.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's so cool.
That started off so bad. I saw two astronauts. Like, where is this going?
Entertainer said, Sam, the only reason I wanted to see Snow White was because Gal Gadot was playing the Evil Queen. We love that. Like, Gal Gadot is fantastic. Fantastic. She's probably way more worthy than this film was. So,
but Charlize Theron was the awesome Evil Queen. I know it's not Disney, but.
That was a really good Snow White. That was a fun one.
Yeah. So I wonder when Dr. Doom will be introduced. We're sitting here, we're waiting for it. That would be fantastic. I'm here for that.
Just hoping Galactus is in a cloud in space.
Oh my gosh. Joey, you had to go there.
I did. I'm sorry.
You did. So I actually like that we're getting a female Silver Surfer, because we had male Silver Surfer in different iterations. And I like that we're getting a comic book version. And I know a lot of people are right now like, we're getting too much comic book stuff shoved down our throats.
That's a good thing for a comic book movie.
It is. Saying. But that's the thing. But there are a lot of people who are like, it doesn't make sense because it's in the comics. But I think Marvel is doing it. The MCU is doing a very nice job of laying the pieces all together so that whether you've read the comic books or not, you can enjoy the content.
But you
have to consume the Disney Plus content as well. Sorry.
No, I think that the biggest controversy with this is that people are thinking that this is a Disney going woke again or whatever, that the BS rhetoric that they put out. But the truth is that it's not true. This character has actually been introduced in 1968. It's an established character. This isn't some new age 2024 Disney going woke. I just implore you guys to support your local comic book shops and read some of the comics and stuff. You get some inspiration on where they draw all their creativities for the informed MCU. That's all I'll just say. I will always push people to read comics, because it's good to read anyway and stuff, but it's really fun to kind of get into some of the OG material, and you can really see where some of these characters are developed and based off of. This is an established character. This isn't the made up woke word that you got. I mean, this came out before that was even a forethought.
It's not the FU pelts.
No, yeah. It's not. So yeah. For those who are like, I don't get why, you know, Silver Surfer has to be a woman. It is what it is. It is
the next phase of Marvel, because that is the direction that the comics kind of led the narrative. There are some badass superheroes. There are some badass villains. There are some badass anti-heroes that Marvel is ready to bring into the MCU. Like, that's what it comes down to. And Marvel has always been on top of social justice way before any kind of film or media ever was. Marvel kind of paved the way for that.
Watch the Stan Lee documentary. I mean,
watch the Stan Lee documentary, pick up a comic book from the 60s or 70s or 80s. Like, it is very prevalent. And honestly, like, just stop hating on everything and consume things and enjoy them and take them for what they are and stop looking for the negatives. Like, allow yourself to sit in an experience and experience it for what it is and stop looking for like what the issue is. You can sit and enjoy.
Marvel never had to go woke because they've never been asleep. So it is what it is. They make good stories and just enjoy them or don't. It's your prerogative. I mean,
what are your thoughts on okay for criticism? I have not heard that yet, entertainer. I think that is very much a rumor at this point.
I don't like it. I like him, but I don't like it.
And I don't think that's really a legitimized rumor at this point.
So if you see, I shared the Flurkin cosplay. If you want to share that real quick. I think it looks awesome.
I didn't see it.
Sorry for the audio listeners.
Audio listeners, you can come back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's pretty creative.
Dude, my daughter would geek out so hard. Can you please send this in our chat so I can show it to Haley?
Shout out Jaressa. Her and her fiance do a Star Wars Fandom Report on Instagram.
Okay, for those who need cosplay ideas and stuff for Rogue Comic Con, that's a pretty dope one right there.
I mean, I may, if Jaressa's not going to be there, I may just ask her if I can borrow hers. Because, like,
oh, no, she was taking pictures.
That is dope. So for our audio listeners who can't see, their cosplays where they are in sort of a spacesuit. I don't know. Is that? Yeah, it is. It's like,
yeah,
spacesuit. And they have cats attached to the back of them with like the Flurkin, like alien thing that comes out.
Tentacles.
Wrapped around their bodies. The tentacles wrapped around their bodies. And it is amazing. And everyone needs to see it. So go visit _JERESSA on Instagram, or come watch our live show on April 3rd and on Facebook or YouTube, and you'll be able to see it because it's incredible and everyone should come look at it.
Yay.
It's the Flurkin. All right. Anybody else have anything they want to say about Fantastic Four?
No, I'm just reading Kevin's Davis's comment about Captain America New World, but the Thunderbolts, a little sneak peek we got from Florence Pugh. That was awesome. I love that. Marvel posted that like right after too. So
I know, but
rules. I'm excited for Thunderbolts.
Are you excited for Descendants 4 Rise to Red?
Oh God.
Good God.
Hey, I am.
I mean, yes.
I'm stoked for it simply because of who the new character is and who she's representing. I'm stoked for it. But then again,
We are an informative show. Tell us about it. Tell us about the new character, Lewis.
So the new character, I'm assuming, based on the trailer, is the Queen of Hearts' niece or daughter or granddaughter, however they play that card. It's a very short trailer that was released, I want to say it 2 days ago, and it's a new character going through with spray painting the school. And I'm assuming this takes place a handful of years after the third one, because like there's a sign that says Principal Uma, which she was obviously a key character in the second and third one. So obviously her, and there's a portrait of her portrayed by a different actor. So I'm curious if this takes place way in the future, simply because of the unfortunate event that happened with their co-host. I think his name's Carlos, I believe his name is. It's a new character, and her name is Red. And she's shown tagging up the hallways, doing a bunch of hearts with like lightning bolts through them. And then the outro for the title card says Descendants 4, Rise of Red. And it shows a bunch of card suits and clocks. So I'm assuming she is a descendant of
the Queen of Hearts.
Yeah.
Wants the redhead.
If anyone knows, I'm a huge Alice fan. So
I think that would be fantastic. Fantastic, Lewis. I would be excited for that. And I personally, like, I geek out over teenage girl shit still. I'm not going to lie. So the Descendants, the movies still work for me. So
I know Courtney and Kelly lost their mind. And I was just like,
dude, Descendants is a really, I mean, I enjoy all three of them. All three of my kids enjoy them. I mean, if you like Halloween and you like High School Musical, it's like the perfect combo. And I like the little parodies on how they're doing it. Like, the songs are stupid catchy, like ridiculously catchy. I found myself at work singing some of them. But I think Descendants, out of all the dance movies they got on Disney Channel, That was probably the better one. I wasn't a fan of zombies.
You changed my name to the podcast ogre.
You just caught that?
That was well before the getaway to daybreak.
That's been like a half hour.
Yeah. I don't look at my name. I'm a Leo, but I'm not that conceited.
That's why I was like, donkey. We're like onions.
Yeah, but I think
I have layers.
It's going to be hard.
I mean, I'm here for it. I'm excited. I mean, Kevin says Descendants 4 viewership will not match previous installment on Disney Channel, but it will be a success for Disney.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not a following.
We can throw the trailer on real quick.
You got it?
Yeah, I'm loading it right now.
Because I know Courtney and Kelly, they're at the Disney Channel night. She said there's tons of people cosplaying and bounding as Descendants characters.
I saw the pictures. I mean, they did. Yeah, they did. Yeah. There were tons of people that did.
Let's see. Tons Descendants. It didn't come out in the theaters, right? It's just straight.
No, it Disney was Disney concert. Channel. Disney Channel, wasn't it originally?
I think so. I think
the third one premiered on Disney Plus, though.
Yeah, the first two were Disney Channel.
It was like in the first year of Disney Plus, I think.
Oh man, Lewis is going to make us watch an advertisement. That's
so. If you guys want to know how to stream like we do, just go to StreamYard on YouTube, and they'll give you all the tips you need to
learn
how to stream. I know.
It's telling you how to create high quality guest recordings. Okay. And here's the trailer.
All right, let me know if you guys can hear it or not. You hear it?
Yes. Yes. Remember, we have to talk a little bit over it so we don't get kicked off. Lewis, what the hell? There was Uma, yeah.
It's not Beyonce?
Beyonce's making country albums right now.
That's Sabine from Star Wars Rebels when she was younger.
Oh, is that really? Oh, nice.
She was a tagger.
Promoting vandalism. All right.
But she's making hearts. I love it. Broken hearts. My reputation.
Oh no. I'm watching this and I feel like a boomer dad right now.
Oh, no. Reminds me of the Joker in Batman.
It does.
And I'm assuming that's going to be the news for descended from Elsa.
Oh, Suicide Squad.
So, who are you? I want to go there.
I'm your new roommate.
Rise of Red.
I mean, honestly, looks dope. I'd watch it. I'll watch it.
If it's better than the Once Upon a Time Alice in Wonderland spinoff.
AZ Big Man says, AZ says, I've never seen any of the Descendants movies. Are they worth a look? Especially if you watch with your daughter, AZ. She would love them. Watch
with her. I'm right there with you.
If you're a Halloween fan, if you're a fan of all the villains and the princesses in a way, but more so the villains, it's a really cool show or movie.
It's a different look at them.
And now the songs aren't bad. I don't bump them solo, but when my kids are like, who's in Descendants? I'm like, absolutely. We can do that because you're in the car right now.
We know you bump that solo in the car after you drop off the kids.
Yeah, you were just saying that you were singing it at work. So, give us a taste. What do you got?
Singing it when it's stuck in my head and deliberately putting it on is two different things.
What you're saying, it's like Roger's a musical, but for villains.
Joey?
Yeah. You lost me.
If you are a fan of reading and you are a fan of the Descendants, there's actually a book series that I think you would really enjoy. It's called The City of Villains by Estelle Orr. I have interviewed her before for another podcast that I did. Her books take the villains and put them in real life situations and make them live in the real world. And they're really, really awesome. So check out that. Check out Descendants. Check out Descendants 4 Rise to Red when it comes out in July. Honestly, is there anything else anybody wants to talk about quickly before we close out the show? Because I've got one last statement before we head our way out of here.
I have a quick question for Lou. If Red is a descendant of the Queen of Hearts, are you upset that Alice now has an actual princess that's not Alice?
Wait, what? Come say it again.
If the Queen of Hearts has a daughter, that her queen would be a, her daughter would be a princess, because Alice isn't actually a princess.
They're both princesses.
No, it's not possible.
How you figure?
That's not how that works.
Where's the logic in that?
I'm pretty sure that Alice's parents are not royalty, because they would not let her feral ass be driving walking around on her own.
Alice is the most gangsterous princess out there. She's seen some shit.
She's gangster because she's probably has hobos for parents.
She's drugs. She does drugs.
That's true. Then you know what?
It's an acid trip, bro.
They call her Demi Lovato.
She's not a princess either.
She's an underage drug addict who has no royal lineage, but okay. Go on.
Kevin Davis has a question. He says, do you think X-Men 97 will win an Emmy nomination? We hope so. It's fantastic so far, but probably not.
Today's episode took me so back. I don't want to spoil anything, but if you spent times in the arcades in the 90s.
Yes. Oh, dude, thank you. Yes.
That's all I'm saying. I got a quick question for our Imagine That crew. Did you guys see in the preview for the Imagineering series starting on YouTube?
Oh.
What?
They just So it's a Walt Disney Imagineering is actually doing a YouTube series on Imagineering. So
they got jealous because we were kicking ass they were like, we better get ahead of this.
I think so. So
sure.
That's we're going weekly. Oh, we can't have this every other week.
So here we go.
So the trailer came out earlier this as I was driving home from work. So.
Oh well, shit! I didn't see it yet. Lewis, you got the trailer?
Got it queued up right here.
Look at him!
Awesome,
ready to go.
Call him Fingers, the man in the chair.
Well, we call his friends Ears, so we might as well call him Fingers.
Whoa, that's aggressive.
Today I'm walking the halls of Walt Disney Imagineering to show you things that no one else has gotten to see. How do the two of you work together to make this masterpiece?
Well, we battle.
Walt Disney Imagineering first started designing, planning, and building Disneyland.
Let me show you a little bit. It's not completed yet, but
this inspired all the great audio animatronic attractions around the world. We start at the story. Story is king.
Walt Disney still inspires us to this day.
We're using new technology to bring characters to life.
A lot of work beyond just the 3D animation.
We're always looking for that new angle that's going to engage our guests.
And for the first time, we get to debut one of those very important characters. The guests are just going to love it.
That's what makes it all worthwhile.
We end up with a beautiful dance.
Interesting.
Oh, shit. Tomorrow.
You know what I see from that? I see more Imagine That content.
That's right.
I know Lewis has been bringing up Imagineering story, but until we get enough time this is a nice little filler, I think, especially up to date, you know, keep you current.
Well, you know what? We've got our shows planned for a while, but maybe we'll have to do some readjusting as far as this goes. We'll see how this show lays out, or maybe we have to do some extra Imagine That content. I don't know, but I'm here for it. I'm geeked. We'll figure it out. We'll talk about this.
I'm curious why it's on YouTube though, and not Disney Plus. It's very interesting.
It's probably just a 3 to 8 minute, possibly little thingy, but
it could be something.
It's actually a smart play. So YouTube, just like Google, is probably one of the most indexed websites out there on the planet, and you can advertise and redirect traffic to subscribe to Disney Plus. So it's good to have content on YouTube. So
you can. And honestly, same thing with having enough subscribers to your channel, you get paid for that. And guess what? It's just more subscriptions for them.
You might want to cash in on that.
We are not going to go too far down that route tonight because we are already at our cap mark. I have one more statement that I want to make right here. Are you guys ready for it?
Uh-oh.
There was also another very important topic that was discussed, a very important vote that was discussed during today's shareholder meetings, but we have decided not to talk about that on our live show because we are saving it for the Mad Tea Party, which we are going to go live for this coming Monday. This coming Monday, we're going to go live for anybody on the Waltz Apartment team that would like to join in on that discussion, which is sure to be a heated and exciting debate. So come back and enjoy it with us. Come back live with us on Monday on Facebook.
Don't forget to bring your popcorn.
Bring your popcorn. Bring a change of underwear. You never know what to expect. And until next time, we hope you enjoy the view from Waltz Apartment. We'll see you next time.
See
ya. Can you give us a see ya, y'all, one time, Sam?
See y'all.
There we
go. Saint Indiana.
Brandy.
I can't find the outro. I found it.
Come to this happy place. Welcome. Disneyland is your land. Here age relives fond memories of the past. And here youth may savor the challenge and promise of the future. Disneyland is dedicated to the ideals, the dreams, and the hard facts that have created America. With the hope that it will be a source of joy and inspiration to all the world.